tonight. Vince McMahon is once again under scrutiny for allegations of sexual harassment. It seems as though Boss and Glow are officially no mo. Them boys are back in ROH. There's anarchy in the UK wrestling scene. Greg Oliver from SlamWrestling.net joins us to talk all about the blockbuster article he wrote for Sports Illustrated about the complicated family life of Rocky Johnson. And the X-Links of Execution, Brett the Hitman Hart and his son Dallas, join me to talk about their return to pro wrestling during the week of Calgary Stampede. There is so much show for you tonight on Sunday night's main event.
We love professional wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
This is Sunday night's main event.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Because you love something fresh and new, don't you?
We deserve better, people.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
My God, what an impact.
Pitter patter, let's get at her. I'm Mike McGuire. This is Canada's wrestling radio show, Sunday night's main event. On the road once again in Calgary, Alberta. This show powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. Order online at greatlakesbeer.com. This week, I had the chance to sit down with the one and only Brett the Hitman Hart. The Hart family is once again promoting professional wrestling in Calgary and looking to expand. We're going to talk to Brett the Hitman Hart and his son Dallas about that right here. We're also going to get a first-hand report from Adam Kaler of the Daily Star in the UK about the controversial wrestling entertainment series show that was canceled this weekend. Of course, we're going to catch up with Dave Meltzer in the US with updates on MJF, WWE actually giving their audience what they want, AEW's continuing injury issues, and a lot more. Plus, from SlamWrestling.net, founder Greg Oliver, who's been in the forefront of wrestling journalism in Canada for decades, joins me to talk about his blockbuster Sports Illustrated article chronicling the unacknowledged children of Rocky Johnson, the father of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I'll tell you right now, an extended version of this episode, including lots more content with all the guests I just mentioned, are available for you through our Patreon, patreon.com/SNME Radio, for as little as about $1 a week. That's what we're asking. Pennies a podcast here, because you get daily shows and a lot more. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. But we're going to get right to it. Here are the top five stories in wrestling this week. We call it the five count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
This past Friday, the Wall Street Journal released allegations that Vince McMahon had paid up to $12 million to four different women in similar non-disclosure agreements made to the paralegal in question, which initially triggered the investigation by the WWE Board of Directors. There has been zero public comment from WWE, from Vince McMahon's lawyer, Jerry McDevitt, from Vince himself, or anyone else involved with the company, other than an internal memo saying that WWE was once again aware of the investigation by the board of directors and are continuing to cooperate in every way possible. The one thing we do know out of all these details is that if any of these allegations are true, the situation for Vince McMahon may have gotten a lot worse inside the company he created. The United Kingdom was a focal point for fans this week. NXT UK champion Ilya Dragunov had to step down as champion, which led to the former members of Mustache Mountain, Trent Seven, and Tyler Bate squaring off for the title. Tyler Bate is your new United Kingdom champion and the first person to hold the title more than once. Also in the UK, the former Authors of Pain are facing backlash from wrestlers and fans after canceling their first wrestling entertainment series show. If you hadn't heard of this show, you're not alone. While they touted numerous former WWE stars, Alistair Overeem, and even All-Star Commentary, the men who were known as the Authors of Pain canceled a show that has been cursed from the start. Now, this story came to the forefront. You might remember that Lena Fanini, formerly Nia Jax, brought up that the show was still advertising she would be on it, even though she had canceled after the show was rescheduled from June 4th to July 9th. We'll be diving more into this coming up with Adam Kaler from the Daily Star in the UK in just a few minutes. AEW's injury list just keeps growing. AEW president Tony Khan addressed the injury to Santana at the Blood and Guts edition of Dynamite a week and a half ago. While talking on Busted Open Radio, he said he didn't have any official answers, but Khan did say that Santana's knee injury, quote, could be a longer one. We hope the absolute best for Santana and his recovery, as well as Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, Adam Cole, Scorpio Sky, Kyle O'Reilly. And them boys are back in ROH for at least one night. As you've probably heard by now, the Briscoes have been keeping themselves busy since being signed by Impact Wrestling, as well as working any other shows they can. This past week, it was confirmed that FTR will be defending their ROH Tag Team Championships in a rematch with Jay and Mark at the Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view that happens in just 13 days from today. Now, for those wondering, past comments from Jay Briscoe is what many speculate may have had network executives decline from allowing AEW to sign the longtime ROH stars. As a little added bonus now, we're going to head over to the UK where Adam Kaler from the Daily Star is standing by. Adam, thanks for being here. Let's just go down the history of this show. When did you first hear that this WES show was going to be happening?
So they first announced it, I would say, beginning of May. So about 4 or 5 weeks before the original date. And it was announced with a small amount of talent, but big names like Adam Scher, formerly Braun Strowman, Lana, Nia Jax, people like that, you know, names that people knew.
The promotion itself. Now, my understanding is it is the former Authors of Pain that are running this entire show. Did they have any other backing sponsor or involvement in this?
Officially, they've said nothing, but I have been told that there was some kind of wealthy backer in the background. We don't know who it is. No identity was given at any point. But that whoever was funding it, to their credit, with everything that went wrong, they did pay most of the talent up front, other than, from what I've heard, the UK talent. So all the big names did get paid up front, so they didn't really lose out on a payday, purely because of whoever this backer was. But other than that, there was nothing else.
Is there a buzz at all about this show?
The vast majority of people, because obviously you're aiming it at a UK audience. Mm-hmm. It's a brand new promotion, and the Motorpoint Arena in Nottingham seats 10,000 people. I would say it was ridiculed from the start. There was nobody really anticipating it, and that's not a knock on the talent. That's a knock on the Authors of Pain for trying to pull off a show that they've never done anything before, trying to do it in an arena of that size, and they cancelled the original show because they were unaware of the Queen's Jubilee that weekend, which seemed kind of impossible not to know that that was happening.
I understand it was supposed to be in the UAE, and then this show moved to Nottingham. So yeah. I don't see the lateral move here.
There was absolutely no correlation between the UAE and doing it here. It just randomly appeared. And they also clearly hadn't checked what other wrestling shows were going on, because yes, it was the Jubilee weekend, but you had Progress Wrestling was doing shows. Like, pretty much every weekend in the UK, every city has got a wrestling show going on. And they all have dedicated, loyal fan base. So you're not going to be able to compete with that, even if it is big name talent, because people book those months in advance.
So, Adam, we now know the show's been canceled. It happened 3 or 4 days before the event was set to start. Mojo Rawley offered a free meet and greet to anybody that had tickets. So, I mean, I guess that's something for somebody that wanted to see an international star in the UK there. Do you know if any other international talent had made their way over?
From what I've been told, some of them had one-way flights booked. So even if they did get here, they would have had to have paid out of their own pocket to get back. The UK talent, which were some big names on this scene, but not really known to American fans, apparently they didn't get paid. So they've had to try and find other places to work this weekend at short notice. But no, there were no other US talents over here.
So that said, does WES stand a chance, in your opinion, of trying this again?
Not in this country. And to be fair, I don't think they could get away with it anywhere. I mean, you've got people like Chelsea Green and that calling them out online. Matt Raywall tore them a new one as well on Twitter. Like, I don't think anybody would ever work for them, regardless of whether they wanted to put on another show or not.
All right. Well, Adam Kaler from the Daily Star in the UK giving us the firsthand look, I guess, at what happened with this WES promotion. Thank you for the time. And I know it's turning into the evening there. It's like early afternoon here. So it's just thank you very much for helping us line this all up through international time zones and everything.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
There you have it. Adam Kaler from the Daily Star in the UK giving us some details on that WES show created by the Authors of Pain, which is no more. We'll try and get more details as they unfold from that strange story, but we got a lot more. Dave Meltzer is on the way next. We're also going to hear from legendary wrestling historian Greg Oliver about his story on Rocky Johnson and the one and only The Excellence of Execution, along with his son Dallas, bringing the legacy of Hart Family Promoted Professional Wrestling back to Southern Alberta. They're going to be here and a lot more on Sunday night's main event.
This is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Well, how's your doodle? Rolling Baggage here, rolling solo down here at Sunnyside Beach. I likes to get here nice and early to grabs me some prime sandy real estate. I lays out me towel, slather myself liberally with tannin butter, and soak in some tasty vitamin D. Speaking of tasty, looky looky in me cooler box. A whole gaggle of Sunnyside Session IPA. Big on the taste, low on the alcohol. A springtime, summertime, anytime treat, and a permanent staple in the grips of me fingers. Oh, and check out the can to see a brand new me. Been lifting some iron to boost me biceps, triceps, and me deltoids. You know what they say, sun's out, guns out. Work your tan and crack a can of Sunnyside Session IPA.
It's
time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Well, how's your week been, Dave?
Pretty good. I mean, great weekend, although it had nothing to do with wrestling.
Glad to hear that. My weekend was great because it had everything to do with wrestling. I was telling you just before we got started, here in Calgary, had the chance to hang out with Bret Hart, his sons Dallas and Blade, a guy named Mo Jabari, who Canadian fans are getting to know very well. And they have started Dungeon Wrestling. We'll talk more about that in a bit because I want to get your thoughts on the lineage of Calgary wrestling, but that's a high note to start the conversation with today because, of course, the big story once again, Friday, we had more stuff come out about Vince. Now, these are allegations that have been founded by the Wall Street Journal. There's been no criminal allegations. There's been no anything else than that other than the revelation that $12 million in NDAs were allegedly assigned.
Well, those that happened, that stuff happened. What happened with specific women, you know, that's alleged. I don't know what to say about it. I mean, the 7.5 million to one woman is shocking. This one was different because of the coercion allegation. You know, a lot of people took the other stuff as private life, whatever. But when it's the idea that it might be tied to a push, that changes it a lot. Obviously, it scared Vince because $7.5 million it's more than he paid for ECW and WCW combined. Mm-hmm. It's about the number that he would have paid for the famous Bret Hart 20-year contract. It's a little under.
There seems to be a culture of this. So I guess the question now is, do you think this is the thing that takes Vince down?
He's going to want to go down kicking and screaming. He's got the voting shares that they really can't force him out. It could get very ugly if they want him out and he won't go. Quandary here is this may temporarily hurt the stock price, but in the long run, it probably won't. Okay. But if Vince is gone, it will hurt the stock price greatly. So there's a duty of the board of directors in a sense of the right thing is, Vince, you've got to go. But then for shareholders, it's like we take a small hit and it comes right back. If we even take a small hit. But with Vince gone, I mean, look, I saw when Michelle Wilson and George Barrios left and the stock went way, way down, much lower than it had any right to go down. You know, it eventually climbed up when he hired Nick Khan and things like that. But Vince is so much more. I mean, Vince is the brand. WWE and Vince McMahon are synonymous. And there is that belief that Vince is the only one who can make wrestling work at this level because he is the only proven one who's ever done it. And then also, if there is no Vince, you've got an unproven person running both the wrestling end and the business end. WWE is in a bad situation because if they keep him there, it's like you've got this guy and nobody else has. But, you know, I guess in a sense, it tells you how important the perception is that Vince is to the company. Now, because of the nature of the contracts that the company has, it could be run by a monkey, you know, and I'm not saying that like the creative would necessarily be great or anything, but the company will be fine because it's got great contracts and it's got a great name and it will survive long after Vince. But, you know, again, that stock price will go down without it.
It's still a name. It's still a figurehead. Do you think that bringing Stephanie and Paul Levesque in now may be a way to kind of temper that blow if it does happen?
Perhaps. Stephanie isn't Vince.
No, but Paul. Some people are saying that's not a bad thing.
From a creative standpoint, the one thing I'll say with Paul is that it won't be bad. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know that he's going to have the magic thing, but Vince doesn't have it either. The magic thing that's going to explode this business. I don't know that he has it. I don't know if anyone has it, but I don't know that he gets the spot. I think he does. I think he would get the spot just because I don't know anyone else who would. I can't say good or bad about Bruce. Company's doing fine with Bruce, but you know, Vince is going to be the guys until they kick and scream him out. But it becomes really weird for that guy to be the head of creative with the women that are in the company. And just it just becomes a very weird situation at that point.
That's the front line of the image of the company. What a lot of people perceive WWE to be is still what shows up on TV every Monday and Friday night. So I guess we'll see as the story continues to unfold. If something from the board's investigation comes from this, then I guess that's when we find out. Okay. I think that's all we can do on that right now, because there really isn't much to go off of other than this discovery. We don't have a lot of fact, right? We just have
we have a pattern, though.
Yeah,
we didn't have before. But yeah. But we kind of have new. I don't expect that there will be anything more come out until the investigation is over. The nature, like a $7.5 million settlement, surprised me. But four incidences actually surprised me on a low level. I actually expected more. And but again, now here's another one.
That's all they found so far, right? So,
but here's another one. Okay, let's say that there's other women and they hear about 7.5 million and 3 million. There may be people coming out of the woodwork, which makes it very, very dangerous too.
Let's talk about something a little more fun here. Did you see the video of Kevin Owens showing up at the NHL draft?
Yeah.
This was a fun little thing. It was a fun little surprise where he surprised Bruce Boudreau, who's a huge WWE fan, and apparently he's a massive Kevin Owens fan, because you see this hockey coach who is talking about draft stuff and important points for players and da, da, da. And then Kevin Owens just walks on and you see him turn into a kid, a grown ass man, just turns into a kid with Kevin Owens there. Now, I think we got a little bit of a mystery solved when Kevin was talking there, because Bruce Boudreau actually asked him, when are you coming back? And he said, it's in their hands right now. So there's been rumor of an injury.
You know, if it was a COVID thing, he'd be back already. So to me, it's an injury. And they're just, when it says their hands, it feels like an injury more than anything else. I know that he's fine. My impression is it's a few more weeks.
Sasha Banks and Naomi have removed WWE superstar from all their social media now.
It's up in the air on the negotiation of a release or not a release, which has been the case ever since they walked out. I think that WWE, it may go in there and until it's done, you know, want him back.
You had expressed some concern about Bryan Danielson.
What I can tell you is Bryan is fine, but he's not cleared to wrestle yet. And Tony Khan is not going to rush him back.
All right, Dave, I want to shift gears before we wrap it up, because we're once again in Calgary this week for the show. And because I had the chance to hang out with Brett and Dallas, especially, who we're going to hear from before this episode is done, talking about the potential resurgence of maybe even a Stampede wrestling like circuit in Western Canada. Can you take maybe newer fans back, or fans that aren't familiar, the importance of what the Calgary territory used to be back in the day?
Of course, Stampede wrestling has just an incredible legacy. They brought in a lot of the British wrestlers before they, you know, like a Billy Robinson came in before, you know, Vern Gagne got him, and starting out Superstar Graham and Abdul the Butcher came when he was very young, and Mosca, and, you know, and the list is endless. Dynamite Kid, who changed the entire business, came from there. Brett, perhaps the greatest Canadian wrestler of all time, one of the greatest in-ring wrestlers I've ever seen. It's ever been Owen, absolutely phenomenal wrestler. You know what I mean? A very, very tough territory to, you know, with the climate and everything and the drives and all that. It was tough. The guys would work the Calgary territory, would come out and they would have, like, you know, I Survived Stampede Wrestling kind of t-shirts. But they also had that stigma that it's like, okay, you were in Stampede Wrestling. We know you're tough because you survived it. And because we know the wrestling is good. I mean, I remember in the late 70s, I remember because the Stampede show started being syndicated outside of the Saskatchewan, Manitoba area. And, you know, in Eastern Canada, there's some of the stations that would air it. And I remember people like in Toronto who would just go, you know, like the Foothills Athletic Club has the best professional wrestling, which is the parent company of Stampede, has the best professional wrestling in the world. And I was like, whoa. And the people who told me that are people I respected, that, you know, were regulars at Maple Leaf Gardens, which was, you know, the Canadian hotbed of pro wrestling and one of the world's hotbeds of pro wrestling. Really cool territory. I mean, if you're a fan of weekly wrestling, just tough, you know, storylines and characters. And yeah, it's got a fantastic legacy, produced, changed the business. I mean, you know, you cannot say that Dynamite Kid and Brett and Billy Robinson were not major changers of this business in certain ways. As far as the in-ring, you look at the in-ring product of professional wrestling today, I really think that Bret and Dynamite are two of the biggest influences of today's modern United States product. I mean, there's a million influencers, but I think that Dynamite and Bret are way at the top of the list.
Well, you know what? After being at the first show for Dungeon Wrestling, which is what they're calling the new promotion, it did bring back a lot of that feeling. It brought back a lot of the just hard hitting seven matches on the card last night. And I can't pick one that was that faltered to a point where you're like, OK, this is the beer match or this is the bathroom match, you know, because it was all very, very intense. Some great local performers. Like I said, they brought in some great names as well. Having Bret come fill the house didn't hurt, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think it was a great resurgence of that style of wrestling, because it is something that is kind of lacking out there these days. And maybe the market's asking for it. Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer, WrestlingObserver.com. And by the way, coming up on this show, you are going to hear from Bret the Hitman Hart, his son Dallas. They're going to talk about what they're trying to do with Dungeon Wrestling. And also, we got Greg Oliver on the way next, talking about that remarkable story. I know you talked to him about it as well.
Yeah.
With the Rocky Johnson story with the unacknowledged children. It's a heart-wrenching story, but it's something worth listening for.
I think it's an absolutely heart-wrenching story. It's like kind of a sad story in a lot of ways. A remarkable story, a remarkable work that he did. I mean, I read that story. It was so well-written and just fascinating. And I didn't, you know, it's like, it's very rare where I read a wrestling story where it's like, I don't know any of this. And so I read that and it's like, I didn't know most of it. I'll just say that. I knew a little bit of it, but I did not know most of it.
It is a heck of a read. We're going to talk to Greg Oliver next about that. Again, Bret the Hitman Hart, Dallas Hart on the way as well. And this has been Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer, WrestlingObserver.com. Dave, thank you, sir. We'll catch you again next week.
Okay, have a great week.
It's a week of so much show. Again, if you want to hear the entire program, more than what we have to fit in our broadcast hour, patreon.com/SNME Radio is where you can find a special, extended, almost twice as long episode as what you're hearing now. We got a lot more to come on Sunday night's main event.
Without a doubt, I am the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
This is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today. WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show,
Front Happy Collections, and more.
We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio.
Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
This is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Still to come on the show, Bret the Hitman Hart and his son Dallas from Calgary, Alberta, where tonight's show comes to you from. Had the chance to check out the launch of Dungeon Wrestling, the official launch at a place called Romero Distillery in Calgary. Thanks to them for the hospitality and also for putting on an amazing wrestling event. It was a ton of fun. There was a stacked card. Brian Pillman Jr. was here. Harry, Davey Boy Smith, British Bulldog Jr., whatever. I've known him since he was Harry, so we're going to stick with that. Was on the card. Raj Singh from Impact Wrestling, Mo Jabari, who's one of the fastest rising talents in Canada, and more. We're going to talk about that. But right now, we're going to talk to Greg Oliver, the founder of SlamWrestling.net. He is one of the premier authors in Canada about professional wrestling. And this past week, a blockbuster article that he wrote was picked up by Sports Illustrated about the life and times and unacknowledged children of Rocky Johnson, father of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. That article is available for you to read. We've got a link up on the SNME Radio Facebook and social media channels. But right now, to find out how this story came to be, a small excerpt from my interview with Greg Oliver from SlamWrestling.net. about the unacknowledged children of Soul Man Rocky Johnson. Greg Oliver, co-founder of Slam Wrestling. I remember the days of going to canoe.ca and finding a Slam Wrestling article and thinking, they talk about wrestling here. This is amazing. And reading all the stories throughout the years, then you guys broke off and slamwrestling.net became really the Canadian hub for the longest time. But Greg, you've also had experience writing for numerous publications, the Globe and Mail, Toronto Sun. I'm just reading this off your Wikipedia, as I'm sure you've already figured out by now. Fighting Spirits, The Hockey News. But there was one story that got you. This was your first Sports Illustrated story?
Correct. It's my first, and it's only online. It's not in the magazine. So the full dream's not quite met yet, but we're getting close. It was pretty awesome to be in Sports Illustrated Online. That from that perspective, that was pretty cool.
So the article has made its round through the internet now, and fans have seen it. And for those that don't know what we're talking about, it basically chronicles the history of Rocky Johnson, The Rock's father, who has been kind of celebrated through his son's achievements, if you really look at it. I mean, he did do some great things in his day, but this story kind of brings to light a side of his life that maybe doesn't show the altruistic side that we've been kind of given as fans through the years. And you've actually met and talked with, well, for lack of a better term, unclaimed children.
Yeah, we struggled with the words for that, Mike. Yeah. Unacknowledged children.
Yeah.
It's a really odd situation. These are children that he had with five different women that he never acknowledged, that he never played any part in their life. Two of them he called at various points, and that was about the extent of his involvement. I don't think he probably even knew about before he passed away at the beginning of 2020. Because that one just came to light after he died. So it's a sad story in a way. It's a very common story, I think, for itinerant lifestyles like wrestlers that they've left a wake behind. But we tried to also frame the story in a much more positive way. These five kids found each other, and then they also found an uncle in Ricky Johnson in Toronto. And he's sort of stepped in and filled a fatherly role. Maybe not, wasn't there when they were young, but now he's sort of he and his wife Jeannie are certainly key figures in the lives of these five nephews and nieces of his.
So you have a personal history with Rocky Johnson, and I just read your kind of I don't know if you want to call it an addendum or kind of it was a reflective post back on the article. And you talked about how this was your story to tell, because you actually have been there or have been aware of a lot of Rocky Johnson's history.
Absolutely. I've known Ricky Johnson since I first got into wrestling. I started a newsletter in 1985. And it probably wasn't long after that I met Ricky Johnson. Eventually, Ricky knew that I wanted to meet Rocky, and so he made that happen in 2003. Rocky Johnson and I stayed in touch, and we talked here and there. In fact, at one point, we talked about me writing his book. So we had a contract drawn up from ECW Press where I would write his autobiography. I signed my portion, and he never signed his. So as the kids say today, I was ghosted.
Yeah.
From that perspective, it's neither here nor there. But the fact is that I'd done some research. I'd already known his two kids here in Toronto and talked to them a little bit. Though I didn't talk to Wanda very much, but Curtis, I certainly knew. And of course, I talked to Dwayne. I did Dwayne's first ever wrestling interview, as far as anybody knows. He was standing in the back at Sky Dome when they introduced Tiger Ali Singh and Tiger Jeet Singh, and all the spotlight was on them. And here's this guy in the back who was pretty jacked and looked pretty interesting. So I went over and talked to him.
So getting to tell this story, and you just mentioned a couple of the kids off the hop. Now, these first two, Wanda and Curtis, were from a previous marriage. Una Sparks is the lady's name, who was the mother of these two. Now, these two, where do they fit in the realm of Rocky Johnson and well, I guess Wade Bowles, really, because that's who Rocky Johnson is before he changed his name.
Correct. And where, much later, yeah, when he was wrestling down in California.
Where did they sit in his life?
Well, I mean, he was a part of their upbringing for sure, because they were born. Wanda's the oldest out of all the kids. And so, I mean, he was around there until they would have been about, oh, I have to do the math on this, man. Now you're asking me to do math.
But I didn't ask you to do math. I would never do that to somebody.
There you go. That's better. But the fact is that, yeah, he was involved with the early life. And then basically his wife, Una, said, you know, you either choose life on the road or you stay home here. He had a job that was basically there for him to drive fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, deliver fish, and he chose to go on the road. Eventually, then he does meet the Rock's mom, Ada, but that comes a little bit later. And of course, part of what doesn't always get talked about is the dates of things, right? Like the Rock was born in 72, but Rocky and Ada didn't actually get married till 78. That hasn't come up on Young Rock yet.
So, there's a lot of things that haven't come up on Young Rock, but
exactly. So Juan is the oldest, but Paula is the next oldest, and she's out in Nova Scotia. So yeah, there was obviously some fooling around going on when he was married to Una. And again, I'm not saying it's exclusive to pro wrestling by any means.
No, but this is a story again where there is a grand figure already in Rocky Johnson, who was a famous celebrity at the time. And then when you tie it into Dwayne now, which we'll get to, it all comes together. You mentioned Paula Parsons, who's out in Nova Scotia, and she would get phone calls every once in a while from Rocky. And I guess she called it like unfulfilled promises.
Yeah. So it was interesting because Paula was the one that talked about being a young wrestling fan. Not becoming a wrestling fan later when, you know, The Rock becomes a big star.
Right.
She was a fan and grew up in Nova Scotia where everybody knew who, you know, Leo Burke was and the Cuban Assassin and Stompin' Pompeller and all those guys. Like, it was just part of the culture out there. And so she knew all these guys, watched them. Rocky would come out there for the summer tours for a little bit. And so she had a picture of him. She described it. She had a picture of him on the wall that she would talk to. Dad, when are you going to come visit me?
Well, and it's kind of fascinating when you continue to go down the list too, because there's so many more. Are there going to be more follow-ups like this? Are you going to continue telling this story, or what's the plan?
It Greg's going to be on the unacknowledged father beat. I don't know. I don't know. There's lots of those stories out there. I mean, I'm always open to stories. We tell lots of great stories on slamwrestling.net. You know, you don't want to always wallow in the sad stories, but you know, sometimes they have to be told too.
That's just some of the conversation I had with Greg Oliver from slamwrestling.net. Again, head to their website for some great wrestling information. And of course, SI.com has the story he wrote all about the children of Rocky Johnson. By the way, our Patreon patrons get that entire interview unedited with lots more information and insight on how that story came to be. Coming up next, the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, and the return of the Hart family to the world of promoting professional wrestling in Canada. Bret the Hitman Hart and his son Dallas Hart tell us all about Dungeon Wrestling next on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Chat wrestling all week long by joining the Sunday Night's Main Event group on Facebook. Just search SNME Radio. This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Octo is an angry octopus.
Yeah.
Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is yous?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, You want to go me? Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo. Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down! Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery. That's right!
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
My friends, this has been a loaded show, but if you are an SNME Radio Patreon member, you're going to get all the content of this show completely unedited. Right now, it's clocking in well over an hour. But if you would like to enjoy that and have Greg Oliver go way more into his story about Rocky Johnson, of course, Dave Meltzer and I always find other things to talk about in the pro wrestling world that you'll only hear in the Patreon version. And even a few more minutes from what you're about to hear now. As this week's show comes to you from Calgary, Alberta, once again, I couldn't be here and not try and find some time for the hitman, Bret Hart. Fortunately for me, his family is back in the wrestling game. This is your chance to meet the next generation of Harts promoting professional wrestling in Western Canada with just a little help and insight from their dad, who just happens to be one of the best wrestlers ever. Well, it just wouldn't be Calgary. It wouldn't be the Stampede without pro wrestling back in Calgary. And tonight, it happened. Dungeon Wrestling. It was presented by Dallas and your brother Blade Hart. Mo, a.k.a. Kid Chocolate, who Mo Jabari have seen grow up in this industry. Mm-hmm. And special guest tonight, Bret the Hitman Hart. Gentlemen, welcome.
It's nice to be here.
Thanks
for having us.
Thank you very much for coming. Dallas, how many shows is this now for Dungeon?
We've done a few smaller ones, but this is our debut, like our big coming out show. So we brought in the big guns. We brought in Harry and we brought in Pillman Jr. And I don't think they disappointed. I think everyone left happy today.
Bret, when you see wrestling like this back in Calgary during Stampede Week, how does it make you feel?
You know, I just feel like it's a move in the right direction. Like, I think Calgary's been missing that wrestling scene for quite a while now, for the last, really, for about 15, 20, 30 years now, like, where the wrestling's, there's been small independent wrestling, but that old Stampede wrestling kind of flavor or vibe that you used to get with Ed Whalen and all that, I think everyone longs for those days. And I don't know that those days are ever sort of possible to bring back, but I think that's the idea, is that they want to bring wrestling back and bring wrestling back to small towns and back in Alberta and Saskatchewan. And build a big following based on local talent.
Dallas, you know whose son you are. You know the family legacy. Was there a pressure for you to perform in this and have everything go perfectly? Like, how are you feeling coming up to a day like this?
Yeah, I'd be lying if it wasn't stressful leading up. But we had a lot of good people working on it with us and made it easy. The partners with Romero. It's been a lot of work leading up to it, but, you know, everything, the weather was cooperative today, which is one of our biggest concerns with the outdoor show, but the weather was beautiful and everything just went right to plan, so it was better than I anticipated.
Hard to do a head count here, but the place was packed for an outdoor venue. It was absolutely packed, not an empty seat around, not an empty bleacher to be found. Bret, when you see energy like this for some of these wrestlers, I know you've kind of taken under your wing as well. You're giving advice. You're befriending a lot of wrestlers here. How does it make you feel to see this next generation of wrestlers coming out?
Well, I think it sort of goes back to my father and you know, the footprint he made many years ago. Things have got so big in wrestling, like you really only identify with, say, WWE most of the time. And, you know, they don't come to Calgary that often enough, or at least not often enough anymore, to fix that want from people, that they want some more wrestling, they want some good local wrestling. And, you know, back in the old days in the 70s in the, you know, Stampede Wrestling, you know, on a Friday night, for example, kids could throw a few bucks together and all go catch the bus and go down to the Stampede grounds and go watch Stampede Wrestling. And the whole thing was to pound your hands on the mat at the end of the show and just be on the show and see if you could see yourself on TV the next day. But, you know, it was such a great following of local fans that loved their wrestling. And, you know, I long for a day that local wrestling would be, you know, back where Stampede Wrestling used to be. And we give fans that need something to do on a Friday night, go watch some wrestling. And That's my, I know, talking to my son Dallas, that's the where he gets his goal, and that keeps him positive, is eventually someday moving into my dad's shoes and see if he can bring wrestling back to Calgary on a full-time basis.
Dallas, that's a big gateway your dad's opening there. I know you have plans to expand Dungeon Wrestling. What are your hopes? You want to bring back the old circuit where you're going right across the prairies, or what do you see for Dungeon Wrestling?
Yeah, absolutely. I think... you know, starting here obviously makes the most sense, but there's a pretty good wrestling scene in all of Alberta. Edmonton, all these small towns, they, you know, they remember Stampede Wrestling because they were big fans of it. So we've already had lots of people reaching out and want us to bring the shows to their towns and reservations and stuff. They want to have Dungeon Wrestling in there too. So it's great that we're getting a good response so far. And, you know, we're looking forward to moving not just Alberta, but BC, Saskatchewan, and all across Canada.
Well, I got to say, guys, I've seen a lot of indie wrestling through the years. I've seen a lot of, I mean, I grew up watching you, Brett, and it's so funny meeting you kids here. I say you kids, like, I think we're pretty close to the same age here, but it's so funny because in fans' eyes, right, you guys don't grow up until you're right in front of us. And I met your sister and I met, you know, Blade tonight and everything. And, you know, I remember seeing them in the promo videos for you, Brett, back in the day. How do you feel about this next generation of hearts and handling the wrestling business?
I've always been proud of my boys, and I know that they're in search of something that has a good message to it. They want to bring back sort of good old-fashioned Stampede Wrestling and bring back family entertainment for wrestling fans and bring wrestling back to Calgary and hopefully Edmonton and Regina and all the old towns that we used to pound the highways to get to. And but I, you know, the circuit's still there, you know, and the fans are still there and the history's still there, and nothing better than an opportunity here.
Any chance we might see Commonwealth Championships returning to Calgary?
I think, well, we have a couple of ideas brewing, but okay. we got some designs coming for new belts and stuff, but
yeah. Oh, no expectation. I just, you know, it's just the question
it's at the top of the list of to-dos, and I feel like we're just going to get better and better with each show. So it's a learning process, but like I said, all the people that work with us make it that much easier to do, and it's just a fun experience for me.
For this to be your first actual show, you started on time, you had great matches, you didn't have a 40-minute intermission, you did great in my opinion. So if people want to find out more about Dungeon Wrestling, how can they?
So we're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the social medias, just Dungeon Wrestling. And we're going to be releasing our details about our next event soon. So make sure you follow the pages and come to one of our shows and see what we had today.
Dallas Hart, Brett the Hitman Hart. Brett, before we let you go, the floor is yours. We're going all across Canada right now on TSN Radio and, of course, all around the world through the miracle of podcast and internet. Is there anything you want to say to your legions of fans out there, myself included, who may or may not be sitting next to grown-ass man toys that I've brought of you?
I really appreciate the fan base I got across this country and how much pride I take in the career I had and the journey that I took with so many fans. You know, I try to make a point of always appreciating each and every fan for what they gave to me. And, you know, I'm stand proudly looking back on my career and, you know, I'd like to feel I did a good job making Canada proud, and I know that there's a lot of the new next generation Canadian wrestlers that are going to pave the way, and they're going to, Canadian wrestlers maybe pound for pound are the best wrestlers in the world, and maybe have always been I don't know what it is about the Canadian wrestlers, but the, you know, you're going all the way back to Edouard Carpentier and Gene Kaniski and Killer Kowalski and so many, Whipper Watson and guys back that people forgot all about. But there's been so many great wrestlers that were Canadian that have gone down to the States and turned things on their heads down there, and just great wrestlers, great Canadian role models to guys like me. You know, I think it's just a case of handing the torch and sticking it in somebody's hand and letting the next generation of Canadians, whether it's maybe it could be Mo, it could be Harry Smith, it could be, I'm not sure if Pillman's Canadian or American, he could be both, but... But anyway, I just know there's a lot of great Canadian wrestlers that are trying to make, like, change the world with pro wrestling. And all I can say is the sky's the limit. Anything can happen, and never give up on your dreams. And I'm going to be cheering on all the Canadian wrestlers all the time.
I know that you and Mo have a special connection. I saw a lot of Bret the Hitman Hart and Mo Jabari tonight in the ring. So, Dallas, to you and your family, all the best with Dungeon Wrestling. I want to keep tabs on everything you guys are doing, so keep us in the loop of what's happening next. I think you got an exciting product here, and I'm not just saying that because you're doing the interview. I'm saying it because our show is all about supporting professional wrestling. Our show is about celebrating professional wrestling, and you guys are doing it in a way that makes a tweener age fan like me, you know, I'm not quite the old salty guy yet, but at the same time, I know I'm not the kid anymore. I'll tell you right now that I really like what I'm seeing. I think a lot more people should check it out.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, and appreciate all the support.
Brett, thank you as well.
Thank you, Mike. Always good to chat with you.
Same, buddy. Once again, I want to thank you for joining us for Sunday night's main event. This entire show with all the extended interviews is up at patreon.com/SNME Radio. Coming up next week, presuming Vince McMahon isn't in jail or something by next week, we're going to have a conversation with another member of the Hart family, son to Diana Hart, and of course the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith. Harry Smith will be here on this show. He's currently one half of the NWA Tag Team Champions. We talk about that and a lot more. Till then, as always, thanks for listening and letting me do what I do. Play safe, drive safe. Happy seeing ya.